What we're going to do tonight and how which of our young men will be speaking. After a brief introduction by me, Philip Smith and Stephen Persons will both be delivering short lessons, and the lesson will be wrapped up with an invitation from Will Tucker in just a moment. What these young men are going to do is they will give a report of the events that took place at Exposure that we went to last month. As you know, the Dalrymple congregation has attended this event for quite some time, has supported this event for quite some time in various ways, and many of our individuals who are here, both in the college group, our youth group, parents, various people have attended and have been benefited from this effort, this ministry. And so I asked them to speak on some of the things that they learned and share with you some of the important spiritual lessons that they learned from this youth event. The theme this year was Driven by Truth. Driven by truth. You know, we live in a world of lies. The Bible tells us that Satan is the father of lies, and he does his very best to put lies before us that we can believe. And if we boil it down to the very basic idea of serving God or not serving God, it comes down to either we believe the truth of the Word of God or we believe the lies of the world. We're driven by truth. And the theme came from the word of truth, the way the book of John uses the word truth all throughout it, how important it is. And in John 19, the writer said that he bore witness that his testimony is true concerning the events of the cross. And that indeed is the most important truth, the fact that Christ died for us, was buried, and he indeed rose the third day. And that's the most important truth ever to be discussed. So what I want these young men to do at this time, Philip Smith and Stephen Persons will come and discuss some of the lessons that they learned. And as they do that, please think about the powerful lessons we find contained in the Word of God and how they've made application to them and how you and I can make application with those same truths in our lives as well.
Good evening. If you want to go ahead and get your Bibles out, we're going to be looking at a few scriptures tonight to start off my lesson. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed." Some verses say, "Study to show yourself approved to God." And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So basically, from the verses I read, you can probably tell I'm going to speak about knowledge and what we learn from Exposure. And I can't think of a better place to learn about God and how to live righteously in a sinful world like this than at Exposure, because at Exposure, we are surrounded, as teens, we are surrounded by an all-Christian environment, by thousands and by about 1,000 kids there that are going through the same exact struggles as we are and have to put up with the same kinds of temptations and stuff. The first day there, we got there and we were all just relaxing. And so we ate lunch and we were hanging out and stuff. And then we go to our keynote speaker that night who brings a main lesson. And Dan Chambers from the Concord Road Church of Christ in Tennessee, he really woke us up that night. He brought a powerful lesson about hell and the reality of it. He told us that some people in the audience, which there was about 1,000 or so there, were not going to go to heaven. Not all of us, but I mean some of us were not going to make it to heaven. A small portion of us may end up going to hell. I hope it's not the case, but that might be just the truth. In the end, he said he didn't enjoy presenting the lesson, but it was just something he had to do, because talking about hell and about how it's has lakes of fire in Revelations 20, verse 14 and 15, how it's a place of destruction, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, a place of punishment, Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, and a place of no hope, Luke 16, verse 16. I mean, hell is probably the place you would not want to go, because in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, it talks about how it is a total absence of God. That God does not exist there, because it says that Jesus says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." So Jesus is like sending us away from him in hell. Set apart from the keynote speakers, we also had these spiritual challenge sessions. There was a question and answers by Jerry Jenkins and Dale Jenkins, marriage and parenting, Glenn Colley and Kyle Butt and Eric Lyons all did this. So it wasn't just for kids, but for parents too, and people too. I mean, older people. Now I'm going to talk to about four classes of the spiritual challenge sessions that I went to, and one of them was called Enraptured with the End of Time. It was Philip Pines did the class, and basically he's just talking about what's going to happen in the Day of Judgment. He mentioned the movie 2012 about like the Mayan calendar and how the Mayans predicted the world to end then. Well, he's just kind of going through about how people are trying to predict when the world's going to come back, and it's pointless because no one knows when this is going to happen. I mean, if we read in the Bible in Matthew chapter 24, 24 verse 44, it says, "Therefore, you must be ready for the Son of Man, who is coming at an hour you do not know." So we do not know when Jesus is coming back. So it's pointless to be trying to predict God's return. He spoke about how the judgment will occur, and how the sheep and the goats will be divided, and how God will send the goats to hell. He will send them to hell. So when we see Jesus coming back on that final judgment day, are you going to be scared and nervous, worried about how he's going to judge you? Or are you going to be happy and excited, ready to go home? There was another class taught by Matt Vega about the final trials of Jesus Christ. He spoke about how Jesus was falsely convicted. And I always thought that he was just, you know, falsely accused. But he went deeper than that. He said a bunch of lawyers got together and they studied this. And they figured about four different laws that are broken in order for Jesus to be crucified and scourged. You know, maybe if we did not just study in the Bible, but learned about time periods and laws in these time periods and people, that we can understand like more in depth about what's going on in this time period and what people had to struggle with. Another class was called Hot Topics by Joe Wells. He spoke about like what teens struggle with in the world today, about how the media puts stuff out for us to see, and how we might have expectations in our minds to live up to. There was a video out just a few weeks ago or something. Brian showed it to us in the teen room about it was like a model of a girl, and it showed how they did all the makeup and stuff, and in the end it looked nothing like the girl in the beginning because they did all kinds of Photoshops. And so basically people are trying to get teens and kids today to live up to things that aren't real, that almost can't be done. He talked about the TV and the way it affects us and how we might put that as an idol in front of God, and the radio about how it talks about sex and alcohol and immoral things. And, you know, they might throw it into a song with a good beat, but and we might start singing it and not realize what we're singing until two or three times later, and we actually realize what we're saying. In Romans chapter 17, verse 2, or no, never mind, sorry. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect." Another class that I went to was the relationships class by Adam Richardson. This isn't just a boyfriend and girlfriend relationships type class and how to treat them. It's how to deal with people every day to day and what might be going through their minds. He said something that I'll probably never forget in all my life. He said, guys are like waffles and girls are like spaghetti. And what he means by this is, for guys, guys have brains like waffles. They keep their lives compartmentalized in boxes. So if like guys see a, like, say, let's say like a pornographic picture, it's going to be sealed in their mind forever. They'll probably never be able to forget that. It fills that box. This is probably some reasons that that guys zone out a lot. We might have a lot of empty boxes too, like he mentioned that. He said, girls like spaghetti. This is because their lives are connected with everything. And he also mentioned that girls are more careful and organized than guys are. I know I've learned a lot of many things from exposure this past year. And if we keep reading our Bible every day and study upon what we learn at church and stuff, I think we can do really good in this life. And I'm going to close out with a scripture. It's James chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. And it reads, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness an implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror.
Good evening. As Brian said, me and Philip are obviously talking about exposure, but I not only want to talk about exposure, but maybe just youth rallies as a whole and any type of get-together that might take place between a large number of people. As Philip said earlier, at exposure, we had many spiritual challenge sessions and a lot of keynote, well, three keynote speakers, I think. And those are very important and beneficial parts of exposure, because obviously that's one of the main reasons we go, is it's a bunch of Christians going to want to learn more about God and wanting to get more knowledge about our Creator. But I feel like there is a more important aspect than that. Okay, I don't want to say it's more important. I feel like there is an aspect that is just as important as that, and it's the fellowship of being with Christians, just being with other people and fellowshipping together. If everyone will turn to Proverbs 27:17, this is the scripture that I will be basing my very brief lesson off of, and I feel like it is the one that describes what my lesson is about. And it reads, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. This scripture, it's pretty self-explanatory, but I'll try to explain it anyway. It says that as iron sharpens iron and makes it better, so can another man make another person better if they're like living the right way. This passage is directly related to Christianity and Christians. When Christians are together, they can help each other, because when Christians are together, they can help lead each other to the right path and help pick each other up and become, let's say, not stumbling blocks. I don't know why that popped into my mind. But like helpers of each other. I can't think of another word. So at the youth rally we went to, like Philip said, there was over 1,000 Christians there that have the same beliefs, that want to be there for the same reason. They're all trying to learn about God. And we constantly got uplifted and just being immersed in Christ and learning about God. I feel like exposure, in my opinion, does a great job with helping us fellowship with one another and interacting with one another. And they do this in many different ways, but the one that stuck out in my mind are the team mixers, and not just the team mixers, but the icebreakers that we had while we first got into the class. I'll explain what the team mixers are. The team mixers are some people, like maybe two or three teams from each church, getting together in a team at a designated time in a designated place, and having a Devo with a team leader, and maybe getting to know each other, and try, and you know, the leader might ask how's exposure doing, and all that stuff. So the icebreaker is getting to know each other. So I wasn't in everybody's team that is here, but this is what our team did. It was me, Will, and Mary Beth were in this team. We got into a large circle, and we went around and told each other our names, I think our grades, and something about us, and where we went to church. This helped us learn the names of each other, learn where we were from, learn how close we were to each other. And then we did another activity, which this one was pretty easy. We had to put each other in alphabetical order according to names without speaking, but the team leader didn't realize that we all had name tags, so we just had to look at them and then line each other up. So he made up another one that was really hard, which was putting each other from earliest to latest birthdays in in order without speaking, which was very difficult. Now that helped us get to know each other, and we also did this thing I forgot what it's called. I'll probably think of it while I'm explaining it. We all had to take off our shoes, and we all stood in a circle. At first, I thought we were going to do the little activity that we put our shoes in the middle, and we grab somebody's shoes, and whoever we got, we go and meet them, which I think it's pretty cool, but some people's shoes stink. You all get in a circle, and wherever your shoes are, the person gets in, it's called take a hike. That's, I don't know why I couldn't remember. Somebody gets in the middle and he says something like, if it pertains to you, like if you're an Alabama fan, take a hike, and you have to run, and whoever gets out of their shoes, you have to go run and get in theirs, not get in them, but like stand in them. They're usually done with chairs. But, and whoever is last and doesn't get in a pair of shoes, then he goes into the middle and has to think of something. And that's a way to get to know each other, because whoever's running, you know, is that person. The thing that we need to realize, though, not just as young people, but as adults also, is when we get back from these youth rallies or maybe get-togethers as adults, that we don't need to just leave our spirituality and religiousness there. We don't need to leave our helping hand at the youth rally. We need to bring it back to church. We need to build each other up as a group, and we need to help each other go the right way. We need to keep our fellowship with one another. If you will all turn to Galatians 6, 1 through 2, and I'll read that once I get there. Had it marked. This reads, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is telling us that when we see somebody in need, when we see a Christian in need that is struggling with a temptation, and we are not struggling with that temptation, if we are spiritual and religious, then we need to help them. We can't just like, you know, oh, that person's struggling with that. Well, it's too bad for them. You know, I'm going to heaven, so whatever about them. We need to help other people get to heaven, and that's what I'm talking about. When you're at the youth rally, I mean, you're thinking about that nonstop. You're like, yes, I love God. I love being here. I'm going to go forward, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, that's good. But we need to keep that mindset. We need to bring that mindset back to church. We need to bring that mindset back to home. We need to learn about other people. We need to help other people come to church, and not just inside the church. We need to bring that outside into our schools, into our work, just so we can help each other come in and be a part of a loving family. We need to tell people in the world that we love them. And we need to just not only fellowship one another, which is a great thing. That's what my lesson is about, is fellowshipping one another, but also bringing people to church with us. Thank you.
I want to say I appreciate the guys for conducting our service. They always do a really good job, and I think for the most part everyone's really excited to hear them, hear a young voice get up here and speak, and see the courage they have just to get up here and glorify God as we've done tonight. Before I get started tonight on our invitation, what I would like to say is a couple words about our youth group and what we've been doing this past couple of months. Like we said, we went to Exposure, and when we talk about Exposure, it's not a place where these kids go and just have fun. It is fun, it is fulfilling, but it's not a place where they just hang out with their friends and go around and just play all the time. These kids went to classes every day. These kids took notes just as they were in school almost. So they took time out of their lives, and they took time during their Christmas break to go and worship God. Now, many people and adults today wouldn't take time to do that, but these kids did. And I really commend them for doing that, and they show a great example. Yesterday, we went to Flags. It was a youth rally in Northport, Alabama. And what we did yesterday, we left the church. We got here at 6:30 yesterday, 6:45 yesterday. And these kids got up on a Saturday and devoted their time to God, and devoted their time to spend time with Christian people, with people that are like faith, and glorify God. Now, if that's not dedication to you, I don't know what is, but I know God sees it. And I really appreciate this group and really appreciate the time they take out of their lives to put God first. And I think all of you should commend them for that. Like we were talking about, the theme for Exposure this year was truth, driven by truth. But today when we talk about truth, it's sometimes very misleading. You know, today we have, in a courtroom, we have people that are put on trial. We have people that take the stand, the witness stand, and they swear an oath. They said they swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. But the thing is, when people get on that stand, they oftentimes lie. The truth is not told there many times. Also, we have congressmen and presidents who promise things they can't guarantee. We have congressmen and presidents that say, I will do this for you, or I did not do this. But yet too many times they come on TV and said, I did do this, I lied. Sometimes we believe that the truth is even too harmful to tell others. Sometimes we believe that the truth will hurt someone's feelings, but it is the truth. Tonight I want to tell you that the truth is hard to find in a world like we live in today, but we all have it in our hands, though, and that's through the Bible. An interesting question was asked in John chapter 18 and verse 38. I'll tell you a little background here. Jesus was put on trial, however, before his crucifixion. He was before Pilate, and the mob was crying out to crucify Jesus. And Jesus had spoke words to Pilate. And Pilate came up with this question in verse 38. He was angry. He wanted to know, Jesus, I want to know, what is the truth? For Pilate, though, the truth was standing right there in front of him. He never saw it. Pilate didn't even see the truth and was right there within grasp. Well, brethren, like we said, the truth is found in our Bibles. The truth is found in the gospel. It was found right there before Pilate through Jesus. Colossians 1 and verse 5, Ephesians 1 and chapter 13 says, the word of the truth is the gospel, and we all have the gospel. Turn with me to John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So we found out what truth is. Truth is the gospel. But notice what Jesus says in 31 and 32 of John chapter 8. Jesus told the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, the gospel that we all know already. You will know the truth, but notice the truth will set you free. Yes, we have the truth, brethren, but the truth does a lot more than just tell us why we live our lives. The truth sets us free. In the end, the gospel prevails. In the end, Jesus is our Savior. In the end, there's no more pain, no more suffering. There's no more lying. In the end, there's all truth, and it's all revealed on the day of judgment. When you have the truth as well, you have it in your hands, and also, God tells us you're never to be ashamed of it. The truth sets us free. Why would you be ashamed of it? Why would you be afraid to tell others about it? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, I'd like to read this passage for you as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I believe Philip already read it for us tonight, but it should be read again. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. God tells us we're never to be ashamed, because when you have the truth, God's going to be with us. Also, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it has the power to save all men." Brethren, we have a truth that can not only save ourselves, but everyone around us. But it's up to us to make it known. Like we said earlier, many times in this world today, we don't like to tell the truth, it seems. It seems many times that the truth is just passed over, and it could hurt someone's feelings. It could offend somebody. But brethren, what it all boils down to on the day of judgment is, the truth been out there? Have you been teaching the truth or not? That's all that's going to matter on the day of judgment. There's not going to be any complaints. There's not going to be any time to tell, "Oh God, I just didn't have time. I couldn't do it that day. I'm sorry." The day of judgment is going to be very blunt. There's only two sides, the truth and not the truth. And that's what it's going to be like on the day of judgment. Tonight, some of you might be searching for the truth. Some of you might be wondering, "Well, how do I get this?" Well, you have it right there in your hands, but God tells us it is through baptism that we obtain truth, and we obtain a successful and eternal life in 1 Peter 3 and 21. Maybe tonight it is that you already found the truth, but maybe you've lost it all of a sudden. Maybe you said, "Maybe it's not working for me." Well, brethren, I'm here to tell you it does work. And the truth, like it says in the end, will set you free. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation,